Podcast. Greetings, my name is 11, and this is another hip-hop edition of the Black History Mini Dots Podcast. Most of you might know me for working with the females. I did a female compilation called She Got Next that got a Grammy recommendation and also American Music Award consideration. Tonight's guest, I want to introduce you, the much-respected pioneer female DJ, DJ Lady Love. She has shared the stages with hip-hop icons such as Grand Wizard Theodore, Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five, and also Grandmaster Caz. I personally know her from Fanya Radio and tearing down stages all across the city. So sit back while we take you on this journey through hip-hop history. And remember, you can catch the Black History Mini Docs wherever you like to stream your favorite podcasts. Buzzsprout, Apple Music, Spotify, or the Black History Mini Docs website. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Lady Love.
Lady Love, I know you from being with Adam all the time. And, you know, just being around the city, working and stuff like that. What was it like? Because I was there, but I wasn't there.
Okay.
DJing would hurt at your time. Like, would you like helping her with the speakers? You was like, hey, let me get on the set. You
know, for Herc?
Huh?
I didn't do that for Herc. I never actually played with Herc. I started out with Davey D.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't play with Herc. I know Herc. I met him and everything, but that was like later on down the road. Mm-hmm. At the time, I played in Queens, and then I played up in the Bronx. I was playing more. I played with Theodore and Flash and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there. I played with them. And it was, at the time, what was crazy was mainly I would be like the only female that would be a part of the DJs. Most of the females that were there, they were like part of the little crews and they did the little sayings, hey, ho. Okay. I didn't do that. I was the DJ.
Yeah.
I was so snobbish with it. I was like, I'm not like, I don't do that.
Wow.
Because it took a lot just for me to be able to get on somebody's turntables. Back then, guys, they were very territorial with the turntables, with the records. You know, they covered the labels. They didn't want nobody to see what the record was. So they were very territorial with everything. So just for me to break in was hard. Like me and Baby D from the Mercedes Ladies, at the time, basically, we were the only two female DJs that were playing with the guys at the time. There were other DJs that came after us, but me and her, she would be in the Bronx, I would be in Queens, and then she'd be in Queens, and I would play in the Bronx. And there was nobody else as far as that played on our level. That played on a level with the people like Theodore and Flash and stuff like that. And to have flyers for us, because it was so hard to get on flyers. That was everything we did. I tell people, I visited the Scratch Academy and I was speaking to this young woman. She went by the name of DJ Kim Possible. And I was like, you are so lucky. Mm-hmm. Because you have a school that now that you could go to. There was no school for us. Anything we learned on off the flyer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that, hoping, just watching, hoping somebody would take the time to show us how to do it. So it was hard being a woman and trying to break. You had women MCs, you know, there weren't that many. It was like, I can't explain it. Like now you have women MCs, you have women DJs, you see them everywhere. Wasn't like that back then.
I'm sure.
At all. If you saw a woman DJ or a woman MC, it was something like, oh, okay. What is she doing here? You would have not known that.
So, did you start by doing like school shows, or you know, going out to the parks? You know, what was your first show?
It was crazy for me because the first time I actually played was at this club in Queens the first time I actually was on a flyer and actually played in front of people. I practiced and I did all of that stuff. I played with little crews and, you know, in the basements and stuff. The first time I played in front of a crowd was at this club called the Fantasia. It was high school, you know, we was all in high school and everything. And I was all proud. I gave out my little flyers in school and everything. And the first time I played, it was the DJ booth. You had to walk up into it and it was up high and you looked out at the crowd.
Right.
And I was so nervous because everybody just stopped and they were staring at me. And I was like, okay, if I messed up, I can't go back to school. I got to do something. So I'm playing Dance to the Drummer's Beat. And the first time I did the scratch, I was so nervous. The needle slid across the whole record. Wow. And that could have been it for me because everybody started laughing. And I was just like, I can't go out like that. So I regrouped. In my mind, it was like a half an hour, but it was like 2 seconds. I regrouped and I did it again and I got it and I rocked it. And that was it. It was all she wrote. I took off from there. So that first one, yeah, it could have been over.
So I've been watching some interviews and a lot of DJs say that there was some blackout in the city.
And, mm-hmm. That's where most DJs got their equipment.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Well, that's how you got yours?
No.
Okay.
No. My mother would have killed me if I would have came for some stolen equipment.
Right?
Yeah. No. That wouldn't have worked.
Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, where were their parents? Like, because I'm like, you had to be at a certain age, a teenager probably, at that time. Like, because I know I can come into to the house with a little adapter and be like, yo, my friend
is
who my friend is, who the mother is, where he live at, why he gave me his adapter, you know. Yep. So yeah, okay. So
my mother would not have I got kicked out of my house because once I started doing it was like a drug and I was a junkie. I had to go everywhere. I would leave Queens and go to the Bronx by myself. I would go to the Park Jams by myself. I would do everything because my friends was like, we're not going to the Bronx. And so I would go take the train and go to Park Jams and go to the Fever and go to all of these places. And my mother was just like, look, if you can't stick to curfew, you need to go back where you was at. She said, I'm giving you one more chance. A week later, what did I do?
Yeah.
I went to go home. I tried to put my key in the door. There was a chain lock. My mother was like, no, baby.
Yeah.
I told you. So I did that for him. Oh, my God. I slept in friends' basements. I did everything. Long as I could play, I didn't care.
I think that if you was in the hip-hop, or you rap, DJ, dance, everybody experienced that same story, you know? But that just tell you the love that you have for it.
Like,
you
know? It was like,
it wasn't like you being disobedient.
No, it was like, this was mine. Like, couldn't nobody take this from me? This was something that I could do that it belonged to me, right. You know, it belonged to me. I could go to Park Jams with my sweatshirt, with my name on it and, you know, my Puma sneakers. And see, I did Pumas, Puma sneakers and my Lee jeans with the stitching down the middle. I love everything about it. Everything. Yeah.
So when was your introduction to Kaz?
Kaz, I met Kaz in 2010, but I used to go see the Cold Crush wherever they were. If they was at the Ecstasy Garage in the Bronx, wherever, I was a big Cold Crush fan. And so I would go see them everywhere. I wanted to be Tony Tone. I was like, okay. I want to be the female DJ Tony Tone.
Right.
So I loved the Cold Crush. So when I got a chance to meet Kaz in 2010, we was talking and I showed him my flyers and stuff. We were on a flyer together at the Disco Fever. It was Kaz and JDL. They were the Notorious too. And we didn't know that we was on that same flyer together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kaz was looking for a female DJ. And I had just came back. I was just re-entering the hip hop world as far as being a DJ. And so I was like, oh, me, I want to do it. He was like, you think you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. So I gave him the CD. He was like, you're not ready. Oh, he hurt my feelings.
Wow.
I was like, what do you mean I'm not ready? He was like, you putting people's voices over other voices and you doing, you're not ready. I was like, okay. I went back. I practiced every day when I got off of work. Every day I made CD after CD. Every time I saw Kaz, here go my CD, Kaz. And so finally he was like, okay, you ready? And I was like, what? So I was at the park. They were doing the park jams, the Tulsa park jams. And I went to the park. Kaz had called me. He said, you coming to the park today? I said, yeah. And he said, okay, I'm going to see you then.
Mm-hmm.
I get to the park and Kaz is like, you ready? I said, ready for what? He made this announcement that he gave me my vest with the GMC and Love. And he was just like, you GMC now. And I was like, what? I started crying and jumping up and down. I was like, oh my God, thank you. Because to have Kaz actually, the turntables that, you can't see them. The turntables that I have, they're Kaz's turntables. He gave me his turntables. So he had 1200s and he gave them to me. He gave me my first mixer in 2010, Rain 57, he gave me that. So he was like, now you have no excuse not to do anything.
That's right.
And me and Kaz is just like, that's my friend. That's my friend because he believed in me. He just kept saying, you could do it. You just got to get it right. And when I finally got it right, he was just like, here you go. Let's go.
I met Kaz in the late 90s, and I was trying to. He put together like a crew, but he lived in Lambert.
And okay.
I grew up in the Bronx, so I lived on Clayton Avenue further up. But I didn't. I knew who he was, but I didn't know what he did. You know.
Uh-huh.
So when I got his number, I would tell them about all the stuff that would happen when I got something good happen with my be rapping. I'd be like, yo, mm-hmm. son. And he'll put this kid down I went to school with. You know what I mean? But he was a rapper. It was something
okay. He was
building. I'm like, yo, I could rap too. You know? And he was like, a similar story. Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, come back. Yeah. But I'll be going to his house like, yeah, look, just like you, I got this tape. I just
did mm-hmm.
it. And he'd be like, yeah, it's all right. I'm like, all right, I'm down. No, you crazy.
Yep.
But I definitely do respect him. And actually, I felt kind of crazy because 2020, I just seen Wild Style.
Really?
Word. 2020.
Are you too? What?
I know.
I can't. What?
Yes, I know. But I knew.
You know what? I'm looking at you side eye right now. I'm looking at you side eye right now.
I know.
I can't even believe that.
Bad.
Uh.
But there was a Pepsi. I think it was a Pepsi commercial or a Sprite commercial.
Mm-hmm. That's Sprite.
Yeah, Sprite.
The Sprite commercial.
And I was like, oh, Y'all said, oh, that's dope. Oh, that's the guy that, you know, I mean, I knew what he did, but I didn't know who he was. You know, so that was the relate. Tone, I've been known Tone. Tone is dope. Tone is real dope.
Only Tone ever leaving the girls alone.
Exactly. And then another thing. Oh, Brent with a Theodore.
He was just out here.
Huh?
He was just out here.
Really?
Yeah, he stayed at my house. He was just out here.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. I did a song with Dana because I was on Dana Day's imprint.
Right.
I seen them at a Zulu Nation event they did downtown. And he was like, you performing, you know, you want to do your dancing by myself? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know who I am? I didn't know, you know.
Theodore knows everybody. Theodore knows everybody. Yeah, if you got something to do with this, Theodore knows you.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows as everybody. He should.
And he's so humble.
Very.
He is very humble.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
Like, he came out here because I'm down with the Zulu Nation out here, the 206 Zulu. So they were putting together something and they asked me, it was like, you think Grim was a Theodore would come? So they said, could you call him? So I called him like, yo, Theodore. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll come. Just, you know, give them my number. We set up everything. So he stayed in a hotel a couple of days and then he came here and stayed for 2 days. And my son and my daughter-in-law was here, too. They were visiting because we had this thing, a gig. I played the gig with Theodore, too, that weekend.
Oh,
and my daughter-in-law, I have the Wild Style book and it's, you know, from the filming of the movie. They got all these pictures. The Wild Style Busy Bee is on the cover. And I took the book out and I showed them the book and I'm like, that's him. He was like, okay. So, you know, that was very, very cool. And he was just like, he came in here. This is my music room. Mm-hmm. So I have on the other end, you can't see, I have Flash. I have a picture with me and Flash, a picture with me and Theodore, picture with me and Herc, me and Cass and Biz. Theodore came in and rearranged my pictures. He was like, no, I want to go here. He was like, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. So he's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
We're taking a quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, DJ Lady Love.
Black History Mini Talk Podcast.
Please join us in celebrating legendary Black women during Women's History Month. Log on to blackhistoryminidocs.com and check out our leading ladies page, where we feature some of the greatest Black leading sheroes in history. See you there.
Black History Mini Docs.
Who was your inspiration for you to DJ?
Baby D from the Mercedes Ladies. I was already playing, but I started to get frustrated. And she came out, the Mercedes came out. I was born in the Bronx. I'm from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. But we moved to Queens. Mm-hmm. But they came out to play at this club called, I think it was La Chalette or something. And I was like, I got to go. And I couldn't get in. And the next time I saw her, she said to me, she was like, we were on a flyer together for the top New York City DJs, and we were the only two female DJs on there. And she was just like, we got to keep it going. And she just was so dope because she could rap and she could DJ. I wasn't an MC. So all I did was DJ. And she was just like, to me, the Mercedes Ladies and her, I was like, if they could do it, I could do this. Mm-hmm. And I just kept on. And to this day, me and her are mad, mad cool. That she is, I always call her my Shiro. Because I'm like, you did it. Like, I knew I could do it once I saw you. Mm-hmm. So, Baby D from North Sea.
I'm so mad I missed that era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tight. No, I heard of Mercedes Ladies through Reggie Reg.
Oh, for real?
Something that happened. And I said, who's that? He gave me the same look. Yeah, gave me that look right there. And I'm like, I don't know if I look older than what I am. But I miss that whole, like, Adam, and like
a lot of people miss that era right there. But we first generation. If it wasn't for us, it's a lot of stuff that wouldn't be happening. And a lot of people don't know a lot of the first generation people. What they know is second generation people. Oh, they know that. We the generation before the records came out.
Right.
We're the 75 to, you know, on. I started in 78. So we that generation that, yeah, I started in 78. Actually, me and Cut Creator went to the same school. I was a senior. He was a junior. Okay. So, yeah. So we were that generation. We did the footwork. We put the cement in the ground. We did that. But then when it was the DJ, it was all about the DJ first. Everybody came to see the DJ. All the MC did was, yo, your mom is over there looking for you. Just and such. That's all the MC did at the
time. That happened to me before.
It was about us. It wasn't about the MC. And then things started to change. And then MC started getting routines. And then you had people like the Funky Four and Flash and the Cold Crush doing routines. So now it's like the DJ got moved to the back. And the MCs became the forefront of it. Then the MCs started making records. And then the DJ really got pushed to the back.
If the DJ got pushed to the back, Is that when there was like Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock?
That was they came later, but
no. I'm because like every Eric B and Rakim, you know, you had that
right.
Everybody,
right? That's when they started doing that. But that was, like I said, second generation.
Gotcha. Okay.
That wasn't first generation. That was second generation. And the good thing about, I loved when Rob Bass and Easy Rock, and I loved Eric B and Rakim, because they had the DJ side by side. Like, right. We was equal to the DJ.
Right. You know, I always hear a lot of rappers say, I don't want to DJ on stage because I want it to be all about me. You know, and that's when we had to give my tapes and all that tapes.
Oh my God. But see, you know what was crazy with that? I was at BB King's and they had this group and they didn't have a DJ, but they kept saying, DJ, hit it and all that stuff. And I'm like, you ain't got no DJ. What are you
saying? Yeah, I know, because it's how artists do that because it sound cool.
I'm like, why are you saying that? There's no DJ.
Bring that back. That's funny. Wow. I'm learning a lot. And now it's like a resurgence of the DJs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like the DJ never left, honestly.
I feel like that too.
DJ to do your baby shower, your barbecue, your
there you go.
Showcase, you know, different things. I feel like the DJ never left.
It's like the everything goes in cycles. No matter what it is, it goes in a cycle. And the cycle is turning to the DJ again. Everybody like you said, it's never really left because we had the DMC stuff with Christie and then with the Tools of War and the DMC championships and stuff like that. DJs just had to go a different route to get their shine. So it is what it is, but we still here.
Yeah. I think that the producer and the DJ is the only one still making money in music. You know, yep. People gonna hire y'all to do something.
You know? Now, I hate to say this, but technology is a great thing, but technology also destroys some things because now you have people who can't DJ. Think they could DJ because of Serato and all of that stuff and whack ass DJs. Just because you can play Serato, if you can't put that music together, if you don't know your music, you're going to be a whack ass DJ. You can't turn somebody into a good DJ who don't know their music. You still have to know your music. You might have all the equipment in the world that can do it, but if you don't know your music, there's no, what's the point?
Yeah, it's like for rappers, where we pay all this big money to go to the Hit Factory or Quad, because Tupac and Biggie and mm-hmm. Daddy's house, and we think we're gonna come out with a hit. It's like, no, you whack. You still gonna come out.
Exactly.
You recorded when it was at. You know?
Exactly.
Me and DJ Kool AD, we did a party in he did the party, I just came along. in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, and the DJ was killing it. And then when he let DJ Kool AD on, it wasn't connecting. And he had something like Adam, he was like, oh, he got it on audio sync. Something got audio sync and stuff. And yeah. I was like, oh, wow. That's the first time I heard that. Because I really thought he was back there was using a Serato thing. And I was like, oh, snap. You know, everybody felt like, you know, they can do it. You know, they don't have to go to a school. They don't have to study. They don't have to learn. I was looking at a show on Mass Appeal. That's a Nas label. And it was for producers. And the producer took a dope loop. So I'm waiting for him to tap in the drums on the MPC. He just pushed the button. And then it looped. But the drums is hard. But it was already pre-programmed.
Yeah.
You know? That's what we living in.
Yeah, there's no...
That's what we... And this change.
But you have some people that that know how to manipulate it really well, and they're really good at it. So you do get some goodness out of it, because you got some really dope stuff that's coming out of some people that know the technology. Mm-hmm. But like I said, you still have those people that think that just because they can push a button, that solves everything. You can tell who really knows what they're doing and who really doesn't. By how they play. The end all thing of being a DJ is making people dance. You are the puppet master. It is up to you to play with people's emotions, play them songs that's going to make them either want to dance, or make them want to cry, make them want to laugh. That's what you do. You have to be able to read that crowd. Mm-hmm. Maybe you playing this and a crowd is just standing there because they don't want to hear that. And then you play something that they like, and then they dance, and then you go and play something else. And everybody's like, you have to know how to follow songs, how to make people feel some kind of way with your music. Know who's really good at that? Mel Starr. Oh. Mel Starr is amazing. Okay. At doing it, he sends me songs for my radio. He sends me mixes for my radio station, and I'll just be sitting listening to it, like, because he just do it, and Mel is amazing.
Wow, okay. I'm gonna ask you some questions.
You okay,
pick an answer. Harriet Tubman or Mary McLeod Bethune?
I'm gonna go with Harriet Tubman. Because she got us out of there as best she could. That the Underground Railroad and all of that, she did that.
She did.
Come on, y'all. Come with me.
All right. Pebbly Pool or Shot Rock?
Why you do that to me? I know you didn't just do that to me, right? You know they both my friends. They both dope. They both was out. And I'm not even doing it.
Okay. Well, Pebbly Pool, that's my sister. When
that's my girl. I can't.
When I came back from Mount Vernon, I lived it when her cribs and stuff. That's my sister.
That's my girl.
Okay. Let me see. Beastie Boys or Eminem?
Why are you doing this to me?
I just want to know from a pioneer point of view.
Okay, for a pioneer point of view, I'm going to go with the Beastie Boys, but Eminem is... I love Eminem too. I love his stuff. But as a pioneer, I'm gonna have to go with the Beastie Boys. I love Eminem. But the Beastie Boys, they did stuff that at the time nobody else was doing. And I really did love the Beastie Boys. Plus, they DJ is my friend Hurricane, so I have to go with them.
Hey, DJ, don't be biased.
But I do love Eminem too. So okay. You're giving me these questions that putting me on the spot.
I'm gonna just let you. It's cool. That's what I want to do. Rain or Gemini?
Rain.
Okay.
Look, if you have rain, I got the rain one over there. I got rain everything. Okay. So I'm gonna have to go with rain. Back in the day, it was Gemini. But now it's rain.
Okay. club or house party?
Ooh. For me, I like doing house parties because they're more personal. They're more, you know, the people that's there. Unless it's a club where I got a residence and I know the people that come every day, it's like playing for strangers, and they got to get to know you, and you got to get to know them with the music and everything. When you do the house party, you know what you're coming to do. You know, hey, Grandpa, what's up over there? Hey, mama. You know, it's more, you know the people. So I like that. So I'm gonna go with house party.
Okay. Sojourner the Truth or Shirley Chisholm?
Shirley Chisholm, because I what Biz say? Shirley Chisholm for president?
Ready for Shirley Chisholm?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I just wanted to pick your brain. I really thank you for joining the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me. We keep missing each other as far as doing stuff. I'm just like, okay, when you hit me, I was like, yeah, I got to do this because I've never had time or something came up or this or that. So I was happy to do this because I had time today. You know, I'm going to Vegas this weekend for Busy Bee is having his 60th birthday party. It's invite only. And he invited me, and I'm all happy, like, oh. So you can't get in. You can't pay to get in. They're not telling us where it's at until we get there on Saturday. It's like an exclusive location.
That's dope.
I'm just happy that I have connections with all of these people. That to me, for somebody who I love hip hop the way I love, to have the personal connection with all of these people is amazing. Is definitely amazing.
That's dope. I mean, yeah, you have a very important legacy and the knowledge that you have. I wish I could do this all day. I appreciate you sharing. I really do. And I'm even more mad that I wasn't born. I'm gonna call my mother and be like, why wasn't I born at this time?
In that era, right? So right. I always feel like, okay, I feel so old right now, but I'm kind of glad because I was there. I was there when this was nothing and I watched it grow. Like, it's like you watch a child grow. I watched it grow from nothing to what it is now. This is global. Everywhere, it's everywhere. It's $1 billion. We was doing stuff for free and just to have our name on the flyers and all of that stuff because this was something that was ours. You know, the dudes with the gazelles and the sheepskin coats, and everybody had their own style. And what it did, it brought New York City together. Because at the time, you couldn't just go to Brooklyn or you couldn't just go to the Bronx and just walk around because you don't know what would happen. Because of this, because of hip hop, You could travel all over the city to go to a park gym, to go here, to go there. Yeah, you might get robbed. People got robbed and stuff, but you could go.
Right.
So, yeah, hip hop brought a lot of stuff and a lot of people together.
Right.
And that's what I like.
No doubt. On that note, ladies and gentlemen,
we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the Black History Mini Docs podcast. We hope you enjoyed yourself, had a good time, and also got some hip-hop information. I want to say thank you to our special guest, DJ Lady Love, and to the movers and shakers of the whole thing behind the Black History Mini Docs and the Black History Mini Docs podcast, Reed McCance and Nima Barnett. Thank you, and have a good night. Oh, don't forget, you can stream the Black History Mini Docs podcast on the Black History Mini Docs website, Buzzsprout, iTunes, Apple Music, and wherever you like to hear your favorite podcast. Black History Mini Docs.